Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. Oh, yeah. This shit just got real. Is this Nigel?
Nope.
Oh. Hi, Nigel.
Hi, Scott.
Is it Billy and the Banana Boys? Banana's a Wonderful Fruit? Is that the name of this?
No, it was Mr. Schaffner.
Oh, Scott.
Whatever.
Schaffner, whatever the hell his name was.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome back to Off the Air with Chick McGee. Thank you for downloading our podcast. That is Jess, our co-host. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
And that is Jason, our producer.
Howdy do.
That's your line, isn't
it? I thought I did that.
What's that from?
I don't know. He says
Is that your black guy imitation?
Howdy do. I did that one morning on the air.
Hey, save it, would you?
And it kind of... Oh, you want me to do it in front of our guest? Yeah. Is that what's going to happen?
Okay. Oh.
All right. We do have a guest today. So
he's not that, really. No. He's kind of... he has a bit of a Wayne Brady to him for me.
Oh, my God.
Everybody remember Jason said that. Are you serious right
Wayne
now?
Brady was on Key and Peele. Did you see that one?
I did not see that one.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I can't even tell you that. I could, I guess, but it's even so filthy that I can't. I don't even want to go into it.
I've got to download those somehow. I like
those. That's funny.
Email time. But first, let me tell you a little bit about our new sponsor here on Off the Air Podcast. It's GoDaddy.com. Now, if you'd like, you like the Off the Air Podcast, if you like me and Jess and Jason, I'm going to say love. Show GoDaddy.com a little love, won't you? It's the world's largest provider of web hosting with over 55 million domain name registrations and over 10 million customers. Why aren't you one of those customers?
I am.
That's what I'm asking
Jesse
you.
Jesse is.
I am.
Oh, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I've been for 2 years, and I renew every year when they send me the email.
Thanks, Jesse.
You're welcome.
That's the stalker guy, right? Remember the stalker guy who called?
Oh, I thought it was the email that she gets when she renews.
Their email is much more friendly and less stalkerish.
Yeah, GoDaddy.com's emails are very pleasant.
Very pleasant.
They'd be like this. Thanks, Jesse. Isn't that pleasant?
That sounds awesome.
Thanks, Jesse.
Go to chickmcgee.com, click on the GoDaddy banner, and you'll get your new domain for only $4.95, including a free one-page website, a personalized email account, photo album, and more, like it says there at chickmcgee.com. You're funny. You're smart. Where's your website?
That's right.
That's right. Go to chickmcgee.com. Click on the GoDaddy banner right now and do it. That's
Is that an abominable snowman? Is that the little guy?
I think that's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the picture on the website?
Uh-uh.
On the banner.
Should I look?
Well, you might want to look real quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
And get back.
But he's a furry guy. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Like the snowman from. All the Christmas specials are getting to start. That guy?
That's exactly who it looks like.
I've always thought he's an albino Bigfoot.
He looks like what do they call it? A bumble on the Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer.
Mm-hmm. The Bigfoot's coming back. That's getting really, he's
Bigfoot
like,
is hot. Bigfoot
he's,
has
it's hot right now.
Why is he hot?
I don't know. He never really went away, right?
Lots of commercials. I know.
Is there a reality show out there or something?
No, Messing with
Sasquatch.
Yeah, I
think I don't think it was a reality show. It was like a documentary about people who really believe in it.
I think it was.
There is a show?
There is a weekly
show.
Show looking for Bigfoot, I think. Mm-hmm. And then he has.
I saw Larry the Cable Guy on his show went and it, part of
he
his
has
show,
a show.
Yeah, he had that show. Maybe he still does. I don't know. But he had a little segment where he went with some guys looking for Bigfoot.
It is. This one kid that I saw, it was a father was talking about it and the kids in the background and he's so fucking excited. And I mean, he's just eight, he's 8 years old. And it made me think of Greg Warren. Yeah. Like my dad didn't make me. And I was like, this dad did.
Yeah. You got to get up at 4 in the morning and Bigfoot don't get up at 10. He gets up at 4.
Yeah, it's true. And this kid was so excited and he was talking.
What is the source of the excitement? Because he never sees Bigfoot.
No, they had just found something in the swamp and it looked like a footprint. And so they got it and they were going to cast it, and it was going to be a big damn deal.
We need to do the podcast on location.
In Louisiana.
Looking for Bigfoot.
Is he in Louisiana? Do you have inside information?
Did I let that just slip out? I'm sorry. Bigfoot and I. Well, I'm kind of a big guy, so, we all...
I love Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, what a great... Whoever's in that... whoever is in the hairy outfit.
For the longest time, I thought it was the dad, well, which is the guy.
Outfit. Oh, John Lithgow, right?
I thought it was just John Lithgow. And it's not. It's not, but it kind of looks like
it
John
does.
Lithgow.
It does. He's got real soulful eyes.
I know. It makes
Bigfoot
your heart
can act
hurt
in that movie. Bigfoot is a great actor in Harry and the Hendersons.
What do you mean, costume?
Oh, I think they had to hire out for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it for me.
Oh, we've got some good emails today. I saw this one on the website. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's chickmcgee@chickmcgee.com.
Okay, I just Googled chickmcgee.com and it came back. Did you mean Chuck McGee?
It did not.
Yeah, honest engine.
You're using Bing, aren't you?
No.
Are you on Bing?
No.
No, it should come up chick there.
Are you on Alta Vista?
No.
Did you update your AT&T wireless plan?
Maybe. Why did you have to search? Why didn't you just, it should be bookmarked like everyone else out there.
Yeah, thanks for the support. First of all, you haven't seen the GoDaddy picture on our website.
I'm going right now.
And secondly, you don't have chickmcgee.com bookmarked.
Oh, yeah.
See
you're funny.
See the
where's your website?
Yeah, there he is.
And it's a funny man in a costume. He's funny putting his...
Doesn't he have an iPad?
I got nothing.
I like that he's sitting down.
I do, too.
I don't know why, but...
He's probably pooping.
It looks like he's taking a dump. Although...
That's when Chick gets his business done.
That's when he buys a website.
That's when I realized I had to do a podcast. I was in the bathroom.
Were you really?
Yeah. I got to do a podcast. It's going to save me.
And he opened the door and goes, Jess!
We got to do a podcast.
Let's do some email.
And honestly, but thinking about it, I don't think Bigfoot probably sits down like a normal human being to poop. I wouldn't.
No, maybe he's like a bird that just comes out wherever they are. They don't even stop.
Did you know that birds can't control it? That's why there's bird shit everywhere. It just plops out. I'm just telling.
I think a lot of times they do it. They see a car and they go, "Oh crap!"
Okay,
and then they pull up, and that's why it's all over the car.
It scares the crap out of them.
Are you telling me birds know what a car is? A car.
Well, there's something, okay?
There's that thing.
Whatever that thing is, I don't want to run into it.
Right.
I can't talk to you two anymore.
Why don't you read an email?
Chick and Jess and Jason 2, my t-shirts arrived!
Yay.
Exclamation point. 2 Chick McGee's favorite listener, 1 for me and 1 for the wife, and 1 Chick McGee podcast t-shirt to wear in the morning in my smiley face boxer.
Can you see him? You see him at home?
We're going to
You're going to wear his t-shirt.
That's
you're
right.
You're going to be happy.
And you're going to be happy about it.
And you're going to listen to this.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, we need a picture of you. For Jess, we need a picture of you in the podcast t-shirt wearing your smiley face boxes.
I would like to see that.
Yeah. This is a professor. Jeff is a professor at Michigan State.
Huh.
He has 3 degrees from Purdue.
What?
Why did you look at me?
Well, I'm just waiting for you to jump in with boiler up or whatever the hell you do.
Carry on. This sounds like a brilliant individual.
Mm-hmm. 3 degrees from Purdue, BS, MS, and PhD. Oh, Dr. Ellsworth. Not as many as Dr. Will, but I think it proves that smart people love your podcast and your humor, too. I love Dr. Will, by the way. Looking forward to more guests and podcasts. You should interview Mitch Daniels as he transitions from governor to Purdue president. I don't want to brag, but I kind of know Mitch. I
mean,
and I milked a cow with Sherry.
Mm-hmm, you did.
So, I mean, he would know who it was as he dodged the call. So, I don't know if he'd
that's a plus.
Call me back or not. I know he's a Bob and Tom fan. Yes, he is. I had breakfast with him one morning.
You did?
You did?
On purpose?
He was in the same restaurant.
I was going
to
say.
In all fairness. Mm-hmm. Just like I went to a movie one time with a local newscaster who not many people will remember, but maybe this should be the Google thought of the day.
Go.
Mike Ahern and I watched.
Okay.
I don't know who Mike Ahern is.
Well, I mean, some people listening around the country might not know. That's who I meant.
Oh.
And I think we saw Speed with Keanu Reeves together.
Oh, did you together?
Yeah,
I think
he was in the back of the theater and I was farther up. Yeah.
Speed?
He wears big cowboy boots all the time.
No, he doesn't.
Mike Ahern does. Yeah.
Does he have a hat?
No, no hat, but like a leather jacket and cowboy boots.
No way.
Honest. Mike Ahern's
what
a badass.
Year was this? What year did Speed come out?
96.
I don't know. Yeah, you were like 15 or something.
Uh huh.
You didn't care for Speed.
I don't care for you.
Keanu. Or, yeah.
He's a turd.
Matrix. You don't like the Matrix?
I don't like the first Matrix. Keanu or Keanu. What is his name? Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves. It means hard on in Hawaiian, I think.
Okay.
You've got a giant Keanu, brother. Hide that away.
I know,
put that away.
Brother. Check it out.
Check it out.
Talks like that. Yeah, he's always.
That was the Bill and Ted thing.
He never fell out of that.
No,
he just kept a little bit with him.
In all fairness, I saw the preview to The Matrix. And if you recall, one of the previews, Lawrence Fishburne jumps across the buildings. Okay?
I like Lawrence Fishburne.
And lands on the other building, and Keanu goes, whoa, in the preview. Okay. And I thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to like this movie. And I don't know how I got roped into watching it, but
you
did. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you
I really like Knock Knock Neo. Oh, that's badass. The other sequels are no good.
No.
Dear Chick, I really enjoyed the podcast with Frank Caliendo, and we enjoyed having him, although I personally think your Gene Simmons impression is the tops.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Have Chick McGee t-shirts available at chickmcgee.com. This has been Gene Simmons speaking.
Only outclassed by your Swedish accent.
Oh, the bork.
That's a Swedish chef. I don't know if that's the Swedish accent.
I wanted to know if Jess and or Jason have any impressions they can do.
I have one, and I've done it for both of you, and I think you're the only two people on the planet who have heard it. It's on your voicemail. Was on your voicemail.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
That's it. That's the only impression I
have. Well, we have to do it. Maybe we'll have her on the podcast.
This is a way to reach out to her. I don't know. Jason, well,
We have to tell her. We have to say if you're talking about it. No, this is a podcast. It's off the air. Anything goes. This is extreme, baby.
I don't know.
I laughed very hard.
Yeah.
Because you don't ever leave me a message.
No.
Do you remember the message you left him?
A year ago.
Yeah.
Okay, leave him the message.
No, I'm not doing it right now.
And delete the name.
I'm not doing it right now.
And we'll see if people can...
No, I'm not going to do it.
All right.
I'm not going to do it because I feel like I have to hear...
You were in the moment.
Yes. And it was like, I gotta get this out. I was in the car and
What about you, Jason? Do you do anything? What are you counting?
Maybe in 5 months we'll do it.
Okay.
What's in 5 months?
I don't really have any good, do I, Jess? Do you recall me? I mean, I'll mock people.
Oh, I know. Kramer.
I just say giddy up. I don't.
Yeah, but you do giddy it just up. Like,
it's all in the hand. Yeah. You kind of smack the table.
We all have an impression that goes to something.
That's right. We all have a hand impression. The air tug. Yeah. By the way, just real quick, I don't know if I made this plain one morning on the air or not, but.
Uh-oh.
I say thumb down fart noise all the time now on the show if I don't like something.
Right.
And I wrote that, and that's mine.
Absolutely.
No, Jess wrote that, and people love it. Okay.
You're the queen of the catchphrase. I don't know if I wrote that because I've been told that I took that from other people, but I don't know.
You know, on the new album.
Yeah, that's what I have to say to you.
Thumb down fart noise.
Check on the new Bob and Tom album.
Yes.
That might be out when you hear this. It's called Don't Answer That. There is a piece on there where you do a trio of impressions.
Oh, just the three?
Well, I think it was someone emailed in and requested these.
Yeah.
And it was...
Jimmy Stewart.
No, not Jimmy Stewart.
Jeff Goldblum.
No.
Well, who the hell could it have been then?
Somebody putting.
Oh, the golf ball going in the hole.
Golf ball being...
Ready?
But who is the person? That's
you're doing answer. Impressions of yourself?
No. It was Neil Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Over a putt, and then he makes the putt and gets attacked by a badger.
Oh, that's right. That's my job, isn't it?
Yeah, that's your job. Anyway, look for that on the bottom, Tom.
That's I'm not going to do it now.
I haven't heard it.
That's the badger.
Ooh, that scared me. I looked around like something was in here.
But then he does this Neil Diamond. Oh, no.
Oh, man, this is going to be a tough putt, man. Yeah. And the ball goes in the hole. And the badger attacks him. And he goes,
like, is that what a badger sounds like?
Oh, God, no. I don't know. I don't know if that is what a badger sounds like. That's what I think a badger sounds like. Chick, first of all, I love your show. You guys have a great vibe together. It all just works. I'll say, I was wondering if you might host a call-in sometime where listeners could show off their comedy writing.
Oh, no.
I'm a pilot, but I do try to write some comedy material sometimes just for my own entertainment. I'm curious if others out there have the same...
I don't even know what to do with that.
Why would you do that to me?
What, you don't want to hear?
I didn't
people?
Say any names, did I? Okay. Here's the one I've been wanting to get to in the email segment. Okay. Hey, Chick, I'm going to let you and Jess insert your own expletives in the following paragraph like Mad Libs to describe how I feel about the podcast.
Okay.
When I pause, that's a blank.
Oh, thanks.
So you have to come up with something to say there.
Are you still reading or is this your instructions to me?
You probably need to do it twice. Say it through and then...
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, good call.
Okay, here we go. I blank love it. You are blank. Jess makes me laugh so hard my blank hurts. Jason is pretty blank as well. Blank you for putting this together for your fans. Seriously, this is a great option. Oh, and that's it. Then he goes on to, seriously, a great option. Hear you outside Bob and Tom. Please try to get down to Lexington or Louisville sometimes. We will. One question, what would you be doing right now if you weren't on the radio? I'm not sure. Fixing something, probably. I've been putting down thresholds lately.
I think you meant for a job.
Oh, for a job?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Writing somewhere, hopefully, I would think.
Would you work at a home improvement store?
How about I wouldn't mind working at a hardware store. I think that'd be fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I know just enough to get people in trouble.
What about if you knew a really good carpenter and you were kind of like his guy to, you know, to do stuff?
I'm not,
could you work for a guy?
No, yeah, I could work for a guy.
He could do trim work.
Trim work?
I can. I do. I
he does really good. Yeah. Isn't trim a dirty word, too,
it
though?
It can be, yes.
Okay.
It means puss.
Trim. It means puss.
Trim? Yeah, didn't you know that?
No.
That's what you were inferring, right?
I know, but I thought it was just in reference to, like, getting some. I didn't know, get you some trim.
Yeah,
I didn't know it meant get you some.
Well, yeah.
But you can't say get you some trim. I mean, get you some dick.
No, I think it's...
No, dick
I think
is
it's,
not trim.
No,
trim is,
it's female only. Right?
Get you some wood. Right. That's what
get
I
there
said.
Some wood. Okay. There you go. That's what you said.
Okay.
Get you some junk.
Are we ready? Here we go.
I would just say fuck, and then there's a dick in there. Laugh so hard, make my dick hurt.
I fucking love it. You are...
fucking.
Okay, that's...
wonderful.
You are fucking great.
You're fucking great.
Jess makes me laugh so hard, my dick hurts.
Yeah.
Jason is pretty...
fucking swell.
As well.
There you go.
Blank you for putting this together.
Yeah, see, that one I'm confused.
Yeah, I think you...
Thank you, I guess.
Thank you?
I think so. I hope that's
I don't
what
want
it
me
means.
You don't
okay, can
just
you...
fuck you.
Can we do what? Can we do this without any F words?
No.
Okay.
That would not make it fun at all.
Jason's
pencils go a mile a minute.
I fucking love it. You are the shit. Jess makes me laugh so hard my ass hurts. There you go.
Do you have, is that it? Is that all the emails?
That's all the emails we have.
All right. All right.
All right.
All right.
It's all the emails.
What are you looking at me for?
I'm just looking at you. Where's our guest? Is he coming in?
Yeah, I'll go get him. You want me to get him? I'll trim this part out. Make it a little more smooth.
No, I don't. Trim what? Now, every time you guys say trim, I'm going to think of puss.
You didn't know that?
I guess not. I mean, I knew like trim. I guess I've heard the
term.
See,
here's the thing. For every one I know, you know like four or five.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you didn't know that one.
I don't know, because it's old.
There are some surprising things she doesn't know. Let me get my phone.
Stop. Don't. Are you going to embarrass
me? Where were we? We were in, I forget, some store walking around like we do. And she goes, we were at a bookstore. And man, I love that bookstore. Anyway, we're in a bookstore, and we see this book about Hart, Ann and Nancy Wilson.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I look down and go, I met Nancy Wilson. She was on the show, and she's very nice.
I said, which one was Nancy Wilson?
And I go, she's the blonde one. She used to be married to Cameron Crowe.
Cameron Crowe. And I was like, no, that's not right. I said, because Cameron Crowe's ex-wife is the lady that made the Hurt Locker.
Now, if you're following along at home, and I hope you are, what she meant was, so Cameron Crowe, she thinks Cameron Crowe directed Avatar and Titanic.
Right, no.
And is married to, I forget, I should have looked up the lady who directed
The Hurt Locker. So who's Cameron Crowe?
Cameron Crowe wrote Almost Famous and wrote for Rolling Stone forever and is kind of a music rock and roll. He's also a director. He wrote and directed Vanilla.
Single.
I don't know if he directed, but had a lot to do with Vanilla Sky.
And he did that that movie Singles, right? The
he did Singles with
back
Eddie.
Early 90s. Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Janine Garofalo. But that's how we got.
I do that stuff all the time.
You do that all the time.
I couldn't understand why, how Neil Simon could write so many plays and still sing "Call Me Al" and
got
do
Neil Simon and Paul Simon
all
mixed
time.
Up.
Yeah, okay. All the time. Arnold Palmer sang
"Addicted to Love,"
and he died a few years ago, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did Robert Palmer really die?
Robert Palmer is dead. Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
He had a heart issue, I think. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that sound right?
Could have been a broken heart. We don't know.
Okay. I don't know. He was addicted to love.
He was addicted.
It was an addiction issue.
You're addicted to if you're addicted to anything,
mm-hmm.
Anything of too much of anything is bad. We all know that.
That's probably true. We're still on the air, even though he left the room.
Well, hopefully, he'll cut this part out, or we'll just leave it on the podcast. Do you see our guest?
I don't, and Jason's wandering around, and I don't know if he sees him either. Oh, here he comes.
Here he comes now.
Yep, I see it. Here, they're still coming. Here they come. They're talking. He's giving him a brief. He's having some water. Here he comes.
You really didn't want to wear a trim, huh?
I didn't. I was not aware of that word. Hi.
What's
How
up?
How are you, Roy?
What's up, Roy Wood?
Yeah.
Roy Wood Jr. is our guest this week on the Off the Air podcast.
Yeah.
Just gave him some love.
On the air, on off air.
That's
on the
right.
Air, off the air.
That's right.
How goes it, chick?
Good, sir. You remember Jess from the comedy tour?
Never heard of her.
Although Jess isn't the one that yelled at you that one night for going 45 minutes.
I didn't go 45 minutes. You tell Caitlin I didn't go 45 minutes. The show started 10 minutes late, and I went 5 minutes over, thus giving the illusion that I went 15 minutes over.
Not 45 minutes.
And I didn't.
All right.
But they don't want to talk
about
that.
He never went over on a show I was on.
Exactly.
That's true.
Never gone over.
Just Drew.
Never gone over.
Hastings.
All these Bob and Tom shows. But that one show, old Roy rode in the MC slot doing 45 minutes, right? I'm sorry for yelling. Does she still work for that company?
No, she
no,
does
I don't
not.
Know where she is.
I'll defriend her ass.
Don't blame
I'll
you.
Find her. I'll find
That's
her
right.
and add her and then defriend her.
That's right.
She's a coward. If you fucking.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Go.
Talk to me like, who's the coach from what Texas school was that? Was it Texas Tech? I'm a man.
I'm a man.
Talk to me like a man.
Talk to me like face to face.
Face to face. I'm a man. Don't come off stage and tell me good set and then go behind my back and some pussy ass email 2 days later. Well, Roy went over his time and.
Well, we're off and running.
We were all drunk anyway.
Yeah, we were all drunk. I do miss you on the tour because when we do the shows, you and I, you would come off stage professionally. He would come
Always
off stage.
Always professional.
He'd done his set and he goes, "Is it time?" And I go, "Of course, I had a lot to do." And I said, "Let's do it." And we had vodka or Canadian Mist or whatever.
Yeah, whatever was back there. I do it all except for gin for the most part. But yeah, I try to do the show sober. Sometimes
make an effort.
Yeah, that's good.
The first 7 years of comedy, 7-8 years, was a Rumpelmintz Goldschlager.
No.
Tequila shot haze.
Why you do that?
Lots of shots?
You know what? I wasn't a heavy drinker. When I start, like most comics, you're not a heavy drinker till you start doing this. But I didn't like beer. I've never liked beer.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come up in college, you just drink everything hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing shots, and I was like, all right, this gets you drunk quicker. This is by far more efficient.
Yeah, it is.
And people will buy you shots quicker than they'll buy you a mixed drink. So once I figured that out, I'd go on stage, send myself a shot of water.
Start it all.
Yeah.
All right.
Who sent me this shot? Oh, I can't believe someone sent me a shot. And then other people will send you shots. And by the end of your set, you're shit-faced. And then you only had to do 30 minutes because I was the opener, so it was perfect. By the time I was slurring my words, it was time to get off stage.
There
but then
go.
You start headlining and shit matters. You're like, wait a minute, I have to time this out. So I will switch over to whiskey.
Not
mixed drinks.
Jess and I were talking before you got in here, and the one thing we both remembered about you was of all the, and it's not saying anything against the comedians. We love all the comedians we worked with.
Not all of them. Don't lie.
Okay, yeah, not all.
That's not true.
And they know who they are. But you were the first one of everyone that would ever, like, we'd do a show somewhere, and you'd look for a place to go do extra time after the main show was over. You work harder than.
Oh,
almost
yeah,
any
yeah.
comedian I know.
We'd get done. Some of those shows in early. Like, we'd be done by 9:30.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's a late show at 10:30 at the local club. I'm going to go do a guest set. Let me find a little bit more time to work out some new material, man. Yeah,
see, that's what he thinks. And today, you were like, you've been like hanging out here at the studio writing.
Yeah,
and
writing. I'm trying to put a script together for Adult Swim, man.
Oh, I love Adult Swim.
Jeez.
I'm glad you said Adult Swim. I thought you were going to say Adult Cinema.
Do those even have scripts?
I don't. Sometimes.
No
one's pitching porn. In a network. Okay, this is a great movie. It's never been done before.
Here's. You go to the door, and I have a pizza for you, and you're. You open the lid and your penis is laying there on top of the
Doesn't happen. But
did I just say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy.
Is there one that really has that though?
Pizza guy is pretty much the
pizza guy's a go-to.
Don't ask me. You're the one watching all the porn, I guess.
When am I watching porn? What?
I don't know.
I've seen stuff on porn sites that just makes you just lose faith in mankind.
I don't. That like it creeps me out.
Like it's just. I don't even go anymore, but you'll see something like, really, people are wearing mascot outfits.
Oh yeah, furries, sure.
And banging each other.
It's a fetish,
yeah. Like,
it's a big fetish.
How do you discover that you have that fetish? Then how do you discover other people with that fetish?
Well, like, as we've said on the internet makes it very easy for everybody to find everybody.
You get a job at Chick-fil-A and you got to dress up as the chicken and you're losing your mind inside the suit. And
some guy across the street is wearing the Shoney Bear outfit.
Yeah.
He sure is hot over there. Yeah. Shoney Bear. You go to Showbiz and Chuck E. Cheese and grope the gorilla that's on the drums. How do you discover that?
That's bad.
Imprinting.
If you had a fetish, what would it be? If you had a fetish, is there anything you love that you just like the Redskins or something? Like if you had a fetish, my brother told me the other day, he goes, you know, I think if I had a fetish, it'd be glass. And I was like, what the fuck?
Glass?
Like, don't ever say anything like that. He just prefers to eat and drink everything off a glass or out of glass.
Oh, okay.
Like, he doesn't use plastic. He doesn't use anything like that.
I think that's just more
glass.
Of a preference.
So you're telling my fandom for the Redskins? I guess it is. By definition,
I mean, I guess if you, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, does it take the sexual experience to another level? I think that's when it's fetish land. If a girl banged you in a Washington Redskins jersey, would that be better?
That would be good. Maybe not the cheerleader outfit. Maybe the Redskins panties. Maybe something like that.
I don't want you to imagine that you're having sex with Mark Rippon. I just don't think that would be a good.
Mark did win the Super Bowl, and I did have his jockstrap at one point in my life. Did you know that?
No.
Are you serious?
There was a guy who lived not too far from here, and I don't know where he lives now. Maybe in I think Georgetown, actually, in the D.C. area, and he got. He was drafted the last player of that year, and he went to the Redskins.
I don't know what to do with this.
And
he had another man's jockstrap.
He lived in the area and listened to the Bob and Tom Show since he was a little kid, and went to the Redskins. And the first thing he did was send me an email and goes, "Chick, I'm on the Redskins. Tell me what you want, and I will send it to you." And I said, I really can't think of anything. He goes,
"Okay."
He was
the equipment manager.
No, he was a player. No,
oh, he was a player.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And the next thing I know, and it was the year before they won the Super Bowl. So this was 90-91, somewhere around in there. And Rippon was the quarterback that year. And
game-worn jockstrap.
Rippon took his jockstrap off after a game, and it was laying in front of his locker. And I'll just say, Matt thought it would be funny, and send it to me in a Ziploc bag.
No.
And it was still perspiring on the inside of the bag.
Nice condensation.
God.
A nice condensation. And
the smell.
That's
can
a
you
bag
smell it?
Sweat.
I,
bag sweat's the worst.
And I took it out. I took it out and I laundered it. And I had it for a long time. I don't
did
know
you frame
where it?
Did you put it in a nice shadow box?
I did have it next to a football. I also have a football signed by Rippon. But I don't know where the jockstrap's going. I don't know where that. What happened?
It's good that's gone.
That's probably all right.
Yeah, it's probably okay.
It's okay that's gone.
Yeah,
it's
I'm guessing the one working that administration decided that it'd probably be best for everybody if that went out in the trash.
Like, I don't even have any memorabilia that cool. When we did the Sullivan Son tour, you know I'm a Cubs guy.
Mm-hmm.
David DeJesus, outfielder for the Cubs, his wife came out to the show, and we ended up laughing it up with them, and they got us rooftop passes for the next day for the Cubs game, and we got to go down on the field for batting practice the whole nine.
Wow.
And like, I was like a 3-year-old dude.
Oh, absolutely.
You're at Wrigley on the, like literally standing in the on deck circle watching them take BP.
Yeah.
And I got a David DeJesus bobblehead doll. That's like the beginning of my, and I'm
so
going to need
cool.
his batting average to get up more so it'll be worth something.
Well, Jess and I went to, we'll never forget the time we went to FedEx a couple seasons ago, and I'm standing outside the locker room as the Redskins are filing out.
It's not as big of a... I mean, I was excited because he was excited. I'm not... I don't love anything that much.
But
not my
Riggins,
parents, not
Riggins
anybody.
Was standing... It was... They were honoring the greatest play in Redskins history, and of course, as you everyone knows, it's 70 Chip from Super Bowl 17, where Riggins goes around left end, 42 yards for a touchdown, and Don McNeil of the Dolphins tries to tackle him, but Riggins' jersey, he was running so hard and so fast, tore Don McNeil's right ring finger nail off his hand, and Riggins thunders into the end zone and scores what turns out to be the winning touchdown.
Look, he's going to try.
Nice.
And, no, but so Riggins is standing next to me, and Riggins, I don't know who it was, a girlfriend, I don't know, but well done, John. And we're
she's pretty.
Standing there, and Joe Theismann's the one. I'm standing between Theismann and Riggins on the field at FedEx Field. I think it was Redskins Cowboys?
Redskins Bears.
Redskins Bears. That's right. And they even
won
that night.
Fan,
that's
yeah.
right.
So
that's
it was, right. Yeah. So it was, so, you know, he couldn't even talk when he shook his hand. He didn't even say anything. Joe introduced him. And then, so then we're standing there and here come the Redskins. They're running out on the field. They run by. And I was like, so this guy, but I see this, a guy I went to high school with runs by. He's a Redskin. And
teeny,
it was,
tiny world.
Yeah. Todd Yoder. And I said, oh my God, I went to high school with him. And Chick yells, "Go Dragons," which was my high school mascot, and he turned around and put his fist up. It was pretty awesome.
It was just great. I'm getting chills thinking about it.
You ever get blown away by just the amount of groupiness going on in an NFL locker room with the women?
Every now and then. I don't know how those guys, how could you have a meaningful relationship with, you know?
I mean, legitimately thought that rappers and singers had the best groupies.
Probably not.
No.
I don't know.
No,
do you think that's
so
close?
They have the most dedicated groupies, but it's a smaller following versus, like, we're talking Cubs batting practice. The Cubs, when I went to see them, they were like 30 games out of first place. These aren't the guys you should be having unprotected sex with, ma'am. It's not going to get a playoff bonus check.
No.
But they were there and just chilling and watching. I don't know who they were with or who they were, but I mean, way better than any woman I've seen backstage at a rap concert. I mean, just a different class of just, right.
But they're probably real baseball fans too. You think so? If you're a baseball groupie, because if you look at Basketball Wives and Football Wives, you marry that bitch, she gets a reality show and all your money.
Yeah, so you better know what they're talking about. You know, they have some, there's like groupie websites like dedicated to that.
Really?
Like, I mean,
like tips on how to be a groupie?
Or tips on which players that, here's the new one, girl. This one just got drafted. This is where he's going to be this week.
Oh, no.
I can't think of any of the websites off the top of my head, but yeah, it's all kinds of like groupie social networking. Girl, I help you out, girl.
It's like Pinterest for groupies.
Basically. The most amazing groupie shit I ever seen. this was like 99 or 2000. I was doing a show in Valdosta, Georgia, and R&B group Jodeci. I don't know if you ever had the pleasure check. These guys were huge at their time. Imagine three Bobby Browns together.
Oh.
With the same drug usage
and as Bobby. Drama. Yeah. Well, no, Bobby did three people, probably.
Yeah, knew it. Bobby did enough coke for three people. That's true. I don't know if Jodeci was three guys or four guys or whatever, but they were huge. They were like the main male R&B singing group or whatever. And they're staying at the same hotel as me. And I'm standing out front, and I'm waiting for the other comedian to come out so we can, you know, ride over to our shithole comedy club. I was making $75 that night. And there's 10 women in the lobby, and they're just like skirts barely on, right. Barely covering everything.
Is that a skirt or a belt?
Basically. And here comes Jodeci through the lobby, like these two, three guys, and they just the leather jackets and the shades, and you can see the cologne just trailing behind them. And as they walk past the women come right behind them in a single file line. And like, they're just walking with the women behind them. and they look at me, and it's like that moment of realization that I'm just, I'll never be that famous. Like, I just, right, 2 years into comedy, I just go, there's nothing I could say on stage that will be so amazing that 10 women half naked will follow me into a limo. They get into the limousine, and I guess they have some sort of road manager type guy or whatever. And this is the most gangster shit I've ever seen in my life, chick. Road manager guy, all the women getting the limousine or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he sticks his head inside the limo and he goes, just so y'all know, if y'all hoes ain't fucking, y'all can get out right now.
No.
Nobody moves. He closes the door, the limo slowly pulls away, and a tear rolls down my eye.
Holy moly.
I've never seen anything so blatant, just out. You know what the deal is. You right. know why you're Crazy. Here.
I don't want any core shit.
Yeah, it was basically that verbal. It was like sitting in the exit row on the airplane. Do you promise to assist?
Can you handle this?
Can you handle this? Yes. If you can't, you're going to get up.
In the event of an emergency, please grab the penis and pull down.
Oh, my God.
Assist the other whores in mounting.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I appreciate that. I would, you know. Honesty. You can't be mad at honesty.
I thought you were going to go the route that, hey, he, you know, with 10 of them, maybe they were going to be a little selective.
Oh,
and
leave three on the curb.
Yeah, these four are going to come. but that's the thing. What that does is, sure, you're putting down the other three, but you're really building the other ladies up.
Right.
Hey, I chose you.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet they do that.
Probably.
Oh, I bet
so.
They do, because that Jodeci, that was that's Casey and JoJo.
Casey and JoJo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Casey, JoJo, and Devontae or Gavin or something. I don't know all their names. Yeah, I was too busy listening to Public Enemy.
So back to the professional sports, you say they probably have the best groupies. I would think football would be pretty low on the list because there's only 16 game days, whereas baseball, there's so many more opportunities for the ladies. True.
Well, if we're going to get fiscal about it, baseball's guaranteed contracts.
That's true.
Football, the life expectancy of a football player is, what, 3 to 5 years?
3 to 5 years, yeah.
So you don't want to bang that guy. Baseball, you're going to get a good 7 to 10. Even in the minors with a good bonus out of college, he's fuckable. You're not going to get a show out of it.
You said 16 games in football, and I thought you were going to say there's 16 good-looking guys.
There are not that many
good-looking guys to choose.
I'm guessing game day, after the game, they don't want to do anything. They've been beat up. Last thing you want to do is...
It depends on what she looks like, if he wants to do anything.
I wouldn't want that. If you're a woman, would you want some guy with rage? Give me an arm.
And like, bad helmet head. Yeah. I don't want to mess with that. Yeah. I'd be like, we need 48 hours for that shit to clear up.
Isn't that why Eva Longoria broke up with Mark Sanchez from the Jets? She said she was tired of being around someone that was always in a bad mood. Now, granted, Sanchez sucks.
And he's always in a bad mood.
Jets suck. Yeah. So maybe that's part of it. But you got to figure there's no happy day with that guy.
Mm-mm.
She'll go back to Tony Parker. That seemed okay with me.
No.
No? You don't like Tony?
I don't like either one of them, really.
They deserve each other.
And they deserve each other. Yeah, kind of. They kind of are.
She likes prissy athletes. Oh, yes, I am a gentleman.
Now, Chick, I'm
a snarling Ray Lewis-ass boyfriend.
I love Ray Lewis. Oh, my God.
Easy.
There you go. That's my NFL. Where's his website, groupie? Website. That's where I'm going.
Ray Lewis probably scares to you. You won't give it to me.
And I'd be like, okay.
You better give it to me. Do it.
What were you going to say?
Well, what I was going to say is...
Give me that pussy. Is you going to give me the pussy? Let's do it.
Are there any pussies in the house?
I'm sorry.
What happened?
No, I mean, some guys have a... we kind of know what guys are kind of smooth because we kind of appreciate that. And I bet Roy... You know, you act like these guys got groupies. You act like there's no ladies after a Roy Wood Jr. show.
I've seen the ladies after Roy Wood Jr.
We were Oklahoma City. You had a...
That was a different situation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you just throw him under the
bus? Oh, no, we can talk about that. I don't care. Okay. I was single then when that happened. So we can
you're not single now?
No. I'm trying to work out some shit.
I thought he was single.
I'm trying to rebuild bridges. I don't care, man.
Roy, tell me about rebuilding bridges. I would like to learn about that. Tell me more.
You know that shit blew up in my face that night?
Later it did?
You guys looked like you were so happy.
Oh, it was great until it almost happened, and then
it went nuts? Went bad?
Crazy, dude. So,
man. So, but you guys like flew in together or something, right?
No. So I had some. This is called importing coochie.
All right, fair enough.
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah, right. I didn't want to go domestic, so I figured I'd import a more guaranteed situation into mm-hmm. Oklahoma City for mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. And we get back to the room. Now, mind you, I shouldn't have done this because we've only met once before casually in Dallas. I go, hey, I'm performing near you. It's a $40 plane ticket Southwest. Just come up to Oklahoma City. She goes, all right. She
comes and then you go, Oklahoma then City. You go, you got $40, right?
Yeah. Like a pimp.
That's right. Then if she shows up. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So you guys all went down to the bar to drink. And so in the back of my head, I'm like, I got to get, she's a little tipsy. Like she's almost, I figured, the coochie countdown clock has started. I got about 20 minutes to seal this deal before she's too drunk to want to do anything. She just want to go to sleep. So I go, all right. So I get her up to the room, and it's rude. It's rude for me to do a show with you guys and just go, all right, good night. You know, this whole show's been good tonight.
I don't think I went to the bar that night, actually, but maybe I did. I don't remember.
I think Bob. I know Bob went.
Yeah, Bob. No, I did go for a second. You're right.
So I go, I'm going to go downstairs real quick and go to the bar. I'll be right back. You know, I'm just go down there and say bye to everybody. Mm-hmm. I get downstairs. It dawns on me that I don't have cab fare for her in the morning because her flight was leaving before mine. So I go, all right, I need to get some cash so she can have cash to get to the airport. Mm-hmm. Hotel ATM is broken. I go, where's the nearest ATM? He goes, it's two blocks up the street. So I go and I walk two blocks up the street. I go to the ATM, get the cash, come back in the bar, say bye to everybody. I go back upstairs. She's fully packed, standing by the door.
Oh, no.
And the only word that comes out of her mouth is airport. And I go, what?
Does she think you just ignored her? Or?
Take me to the airport.
Oh.
I go, what did I do? This is something that we were having fun. What's going on? I'm going to tell you one more time to take me to the airport.
Oh, God.
And then I'm going to tell the police that you didn't want to take me to the airport.
Holy shitballs.
Oh, my God.
So I fucking call valet.
Damn right. See, you're better off.
I started to put her in a cab, but I'm trying to keep the peace. So we go to the airport.
I'd have thrown her out the window.
Dude, it's 12:30 at night. Yeah. Your fucking flight's not till 10 o'clock in the morning. Airport.
Holy shit.
I drop off at the airport. And that's that. 2 days later, I get a phone call from her, and she goes, you don't even want to know why I left? I go, no. You didn't seem like you were going to have a conversation.
Man. Yeah, you told me.
You told me that you were going downstairs to say goodbye to your friends. I'd go stand out on the balcony and to have a smoke. And what do I see walking up the street? You walking up the street going God knows where to set me up for some shit. You're not gonna set me up, motherfucker. I'm from the fucking west side of town. She thought that I was going up the street
to hook it up.
I don't know. Hey, man, she's upstairs. Let's all go up and run a train. Like, I don't know. I don't know what she was thinking.
No,
I've never
what
been.
What you told me about her, that was definitely what might have been going through her brain.
I've never been more scared
Holy
in my life.
Moly.
And that was like one of those turning points. I'm like, you know what? All right. At least with a girlfriend, this wouldn't happen. So I think I should call my ex and see if I could can work this out.
That was
like
your
the
inspiration?
Beginning. It was part of it. I didn't say that to her when I called her. Listen, I've been thinking about
it. And there's this crazy
baby.
Bitch I just had to take to the airport.
Baby, here's the thing, baby.
I just left from driving a bitch off at the airport. We should work on that. I didn't give us a chance.
So, Roy, how long have you been in doing stand-up on stage?
Since 98.
1998.
I was 19. I was at Florida A&M University, but I used to go
FAMU.
Yeah, FAMU. I did more stuff at Florida State. Florida State had all the comedy shows. There was like a regular comedy club, but I couldn't I wasn't good enough for that yet. So I did open mics. I'd take the Greyhound to Atlanta, and I'd do open mics in Atlanta and Birmingham, and then I would pretend to be a Florida State student and just do shows over at Florida State in a heartbeat. Like, I would, like, I used to.
This is why you were going to college.
Yeah, I was still in college. Yeah, it kept me out of mischief, though.
I guess.
It created a situation where when I started my junior year, I was all over the place, but I figured it out second semester. If I cram all of my classes to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then I have Thursday night for the Greyhound to get. I could go as far away as Charlotte and get there in time for a Friday night show. Hop around Charlotte and the Southeast, South Carolina. Sunday night or Monday morning, take a bus back to Tallahassee in time for Tuesday morning classes and just study on the bus. And I was on a dean's list, like, the last 2 years of school.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
See what I mean? Mm-hmm. What I said? Hard working.
I used to meet people off the internet. And like chat rooms, like, this is how long ago this was. This is like AOL chat.
Do you remember
chat.
Those? Sure. AOL chat, sure. Yes.
You can only talk to people 30 at a time, yes, and hope that one of them was a decent person.
A decent, what? Anyway.
So I would meet people, I'd meet girls from Florida State and invite them. Hey, you going to the comedy show? We should go together. And I'd go buy a Seminoles t-shirt. And she'd walk in and show her student ID, and I'd give the fake pat down. Oh, I do not know where my student is. But you're standing there with a girl who has an ID, so you're just assumed to be a student, so they let you in. And then I would go over to and I'd tell the girl, hey, I'll be right back. And then it goes to the guy who has the sign up. I'm Roy. I'm supposed to be third. All right,
oh,
thanks.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's kind of how I just started. Wow. Sneaking my way on the stage. It's a lot of lies and deceit. I did the same thing in New York. We used to have to do bringer shows in New York.
Bring your friends?
Yeah, like open mic. And it's still like this now. And I get why they do it.
Yeah,
the more people you bring, the more stage time you get. Mm-hmm. You get to pick your slot and all of that because you're bringing paying customers. But if you're not from New York, I mean, back in those days, I still had the thought process that I would go to New York and right. Eddie Murphy will see me in the back of the club, the same way he saw Chris Rock. And Jesus will come down from on high and hand me a career.
Did you do this all along when you were in high school and grade school?
Nah, I had no. I figured out I had a sense of humor in high school. I wrote the bench for baseball. So you just crack jokes in the hot sun for 3 hours a day. And I was like, all right, there's something there.
I did the same thing on the football bus my senior year. Before that, I didn't say anything, but yeah.
Oh, man, the stuff we used to yell at other teams, man. I'm so embarrassed by it now.
So what
We used to call... like in those days in Birmingham, if you were gonna call a guy gay, like in high school, like to call a guy a sissy or whatever,
right,
you'd call him a blade. Because if you dressed real sharp,
this is gonna be good.
If you dress sharp, you know, you dress real nice, it was considered a bad thing.
Right.
Where I grew up, like, yo, why are you dressing all sharp?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You gay or something?
Right.
He's sharp as a blade.
Oh. Okay.
So you're a blade just because you dress nice. So we would sit while the other team is batting and would just scream out, I look in the batter's box, and what do I see? I see a B-L-A-D-E. Basically calling out people's homosexuality.
Yeah. Being all non-sensitive. And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, those were the days back when you could do that. I would never do that now. I'm a good person.
So what was your first stage time from when you would take the Greyhound, or was there something in high school? Or what was, I guess, what was your big... You're one that gave you hope or motivation to, but you always worked hard. I guess there might not.
It was going to happen regardless.
Now there's mile markers. I mean, my first stand up set, the first time I touched a microphone was in Birmingham at the open mic at the Comedy Club Stardoll, and that was a 5 minute set that I'd been prepping for 4 months. Like I just kept watching and studying stand up, and I was like, all right, I don't know if this is funny, but it follows the beats.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hadn't taken any formal classes. At the time, the only people I was studying, this is a horrible mix. Chris Rock, George Carlin, and Martin Lawrence. Those were my three stand, like, and Martin for his performance style, but his content is nothing like Chris or George Carlin.
Right. Right.
But I will watch that stuff. So when I went to Birmingham and did the first set, and I got laughs where I figured I would get laughs, I was like, oh, okay, this is, there's something here. And then promptly got booed for the next 4 weeks in Atlanta. Hey, granted, that's a black room, but still, there was, you know, there was that. And then I started doing more sets around Tallahassee. We formed a comedy troupe, me and some guys.
Oh, yeah?
And just
like improv or?
Nah, we were just strictly stand-up.
Okay.
And we did two shows a month, and that's what kind of got me in with the Comedy Zone. So once I got in with the Comedy Zone after that first year, that's when I kind of felt like, all right, maybe I, and this sounds stupid, but the first time I got paid to do stand-up, I was a month in, and with the guys with the with the comedy troupe, we split the door. And my share of the door was $4, and I had never been more proud.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
I went home gleaming. I was like, I'm gonna never spend these $4. I'm gonna frame them. Wrong.
Wrong.
Support, personal pan pizza.
Support at home, or they wanted you to get a real job, or
my mom hated stand up.
Yeah,
hated. My mom and I didn't talk for a year and a half.
No way.
Maybe. We talked twice, just enough, hey, I'm alive. Are you alive? Okay, click. Like, base level conversation. 'Cause it was a situation where I got arrested when I was 19. That's what kicked off the whole comedy thing. A buddy of mine and I, we got a hold of some credit cards.
Uh-oh.
Thought it'd be a good idea to go down to the Macy's, get myself some jeans. Get me some jeans so I can be nice and sharp for the ladies.
Not a blade, but sharp.
Yeah, not a blade.
No.
At that point, it's okay to dress sharp if you're trying to get women.
Right.
So I got arrested. So that put me in a weird mental spiral. So comedy was the escape.
Right.
That was the, all right, that sucked. I could go to jail. But until then, I'll do comedy. And then I got probation. So my first 2 years of stand-up, I was on probation. So try explaining to your mother, hey, listen, I know I dodged jail, but rather than get my lesson, I'm just going to get on this bus.
Go out of state.
And I'm going to go to Atlanta and get booed. And I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to do my work, and I'm going to take the money I make at Golden Corral to buy another bus ticket and go back to Atlanta the next week and get booed again. And my mom is a college administrator, PhD, the whole nine. So she believes in higher education. She believes in getting a master's and getting a degree and all that stuff. So she was violently against it. But there isn't shit you could do. You're in Birmingham. I'm in Tallahassee. You can't control me.
Mm.
So I just kept doing it. And she just sicked her stomach about it, like furious. But literally nothing she could do. And it wasn't until that first year where I consistently made good grades where she was like, all right, I can't, like, you can't, what can you say?
Right.
I'm on the dean's list.
Mm-hmm.
So leave me alone and let me ride to Tampa and go get booed by these black people in electric blue suits. But, you know, my dad passed when I was in high school, but I don't think he would have approved of it either. Because he was, my dad was like a radio news guy.
Oh, yeah?
But he was kind of like more on the black side of things where he started, we didn't start, but he's one of the initial members of this thing called the National Black Network that started on WVON in Chicago back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And essentially what it was like the black CNN. So my dad was, you know, I wouldn't say a militant, but definitely a talking head for the black political cause in terms of just building awareness of what's going on and things that are affecting the black community. So he's a no-nonsense kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I couldn't imagine going to him, hey, Pops, listen, I'm going on stage and do these jokes about blowjobs and book buyback. I made $4.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
So being a junior, have you ever ran into anyone who knew your pop?
Oh, yeah. But it's a lot of old heads. You know, my dad was older when I was born. My dad was 80 when he died. I don't know the math. My dad was 63 when I was born.
Wow.
There we go.
Goodness. Okay.
Wow. My dad was 63. But he was one of them suave Billy D. Williams looking asses. So he looked like 48 or some kind. Yeah. My mom was like 33, 34 or something. And I say that to say everybody who knew my dad and worked with my father, they're old now too. So it's like 70-year-old black men. Yeah. Oh, boy, I knew your father. Yeah. Which just translates to, I used to, me and your daddy used to chase holes together. My dad wasn't the most faithful guy. So I know if you knew my dad in Birmingham, chances are you were out doing dirt with him. And the reason the household was so screwed up in the first place, ass. My dad knew Don Cornelius.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's right. You've told me that. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad had a chance. This is why I'm depressed.
That's how the story starts.
This is a true story. Don Cornelius was a news reporter at WVON while my father was news director. He worked underneath my dad. Don Cornelius comes to my father, goes, you know, hey, Roy, dig it, cat. I don't know how black people talked back then.
But it was cool, I know that.
Dig this, you dig. Listen here, turkey. I got an idea for a show, right? You know, they got American Bandstand, but they don't have nothing for the brothers, Roy. And I'm going to do something groovy. It's going to be called The Train of Soul. And I want to give you a chance to invest in that together. And we can shoot this pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And the story, as it was told to me, was that my dad wanted no parts of it. But Don Cornelius needed money to shoot the pilot. My dad goes, you know what, fine, I'll loan you the money. Just pay me back. And it was, I don't know, $700, $800, maybe $1,000. A month or two passes, Don Cornelius shoots the pilot. Can't sell it. Can't get the ad space or whatever. So no network would carry the show. So he can't sell the ads. Meanwhile, my dad needs that money back. It's $1,000 in the 70s. Fucking, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money now.
So my dad, that still gets your ass kicked.
That's right. I'll kick somebody's ass for $1,000.
So my dad goes back to Don Cornelius and jams him up in the hall. He's like, yo, where's my money? And he dig it, Roy. Listen. Take it easy. Listen, let me make you an investor. Why are you worried about getting these crumbs, Roy?
Peace, love,
the train of soul is going to be huge, and it's going to be an unstoppable entertainment force in the black community, to which my dad says, motherfucker, don't nobody want to see niggas dance for an hour. Best have my cash.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
Don Cornelius paid my dad back for whatever money he fronted him to do whatever he needed to do with Soul Train. And my pops never saw another dime. Couldn't watch Soul Train in the house growing up.
Mm.
True story. Like,
I believe it.
Literally, turn it off. That coon, and he kept calling it.
Oh,
my dad just hated on it. Just that cool, but we could watch Solid Gold, which is the same show, Dad. It's just hotter dancers.
That's funny.
Yeah. So that's the kind of father I had. He was very no nonsense, straight up. So if you told Don Cornelius hell no to singing and dancing, I'm sure you wouldn't approve of me doing. He'd probably be cool with it now because my comedy is a little more opinionated and trying to drive it in some different directions. But you know, the first 7 to 8 years of comedy, you know, you ever been on a date so bad the girl makes you drop her off at another guy's house? he wouldn't have approved of that joke.
That's a great joke.
That joke is stupid, boy. You need to talk about the struggle. You need to talk about what the fuck is going on and open up black people's eyes. You got their attention for 45 minutes and you talking about that. But that would be my dad's opinion.
So where was your first the headline? Where was first ever?
Oh, no, I remember The Loft, Columbus, Georgia. It was a Thursday night show. Mark Ruban booked me for that. This is a long time ago. It's a hot one-nighter. It's still open. It's changed hands a couple times with the bookers, but that was the first. I was the headliner. It was established I was the headliner, and this is my show. Like, I mean, there have been a couple times where you're featuring and the headliner doesn't show up and you,
right.
we need you to stretch.
Right,
you
know, right, but right.
as far as somebody openly giving me the ability and the time to do it, that was the first.
And the full 45? Or
yeah, I did the full 45. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look back at that tape now and there's probably total 8 jokes. Like you look back at your sets as a comedian like a decade ago and you just go, how did that? Who's booking me? Why would you, why would you book me for that? Did you not see?
Look at that me.
I took a 4-minute joke and made it 9 minutes. Adding some crowd work and pacing. Really? You're going to let me skate by with that? Chattanooga worked me early on. Those were some. That was another club that was the first to headline me. Chattanooga and Tampa, Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida. Good old Bobby Jewel.
Mm-hmm. Do you still record your shows?
Yeah, I recorded last week. I don't record as much now. I try to record only when I'm doing new material. And this week, I'm trying to get together a new hour. I just recorded a stand-up CD, my first ever, that I have to put out in January. And I know once that's out, I don't want to do that material anymore. I'm trying to right. follow that Louis C.K., Bill mm-hmm. Burr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pros that I admire nowadays seem to do an hour for a year
and then it's gone
and dispose of it. Yeah. So that, but it's very hard to write like that. And those guys are New York guys where they can get on stage a hell of a lot more. Like you could have a 5-minute premise in New York, put it on stage 7 different times in one night.
Right.
I'm only on stage 7 times in a week.
Right.
So the joke grows slower. So I have to like really be meticulous about the wordplay. But yeah, I recorded. This past week, I'm trying to work out some stuff about Mars and space exploration.
So who are your friends in stand-up? Do you have somebody that you look forward to? I mean, other than us. I mean,
not many.
You really look forward to? Because you work so much and you work so hard. And
you don't get to see a lot of guys. I mean, everybody, I tell all the features that now, like the guys who you're featuring with, enjoy the time you all get together because those are your mm-hmm. friends and you'll never see them again. I'm close with Tommy Jonigan.
Mm-hmm. Tommy's a good man.
Tommy and I, you know, I had a falling out with a guy I thought I was cool with a couple years ago, so it made me real guarded mm-hmm. about associating with comics anymore.
Yeah.
But Tommy Jonigan, just as a human being and as a person,
mm-hmm.
I'm cool with. And I know that wouldn't have happened had we not done the last Comic Standing tour, because it's impossible to not grow close.
Yep.
If you're genuinely a good person, because you have to start looking at people outside
I was just going to say that. Yeah,
who they are as comedians.
Yeah.
The same thing goes for Mike Kaplan, who was mm-hmm. on the tour too. You know, Cap and I are cool. We don't talk as much. I mean, Jonigan and I have been trying to juggle, you know, watch some football and stuff. Like, just not a hey, let's talk and write. But no, dude, let's just go sit at a place and watch Wings. But, you know,
Niners, Dolphins. That'd be the dream matchup.
He has a kid now, so he has stuff to do. I'm cool with the guys from Sullivan, son.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, sure. Steve Byrne.
Steve, Owen, and Ahmed. I mean, that's that tour we went on together, that was the longest tour I've been on since last Comic. So that was definitely some tense moments and arguing and some real like family like moments where it's like, all right, this guy really is cool. So you get through that.
Mm-hmm.
When you and Tommy were in the top three, I guess, for the last mm-hmm. comic, or
oh god,
remember we were watching that?
Wrecked.
We were so nervous.
I think I got an ulcer.
And because we said.
I
don't know who's
Roy and Tommy. It has to.
It
be
has
Roy
to be those
all.
The final
That's
two
it.
And. Whatever happens, Roy's going to get a TV show. Remember that?
Yep,
I think you
true.
Said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I got eliminated, and this is such a horrible thing to say, and it's not a shade. It's not a knock on Felipe. I thought Tommy won.
I thought
Tommy was going to win.
I think
because it's just such
Tommy
a middle
won.
America ass show, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
in middle America votes. He's from middle America. Like that.
But
the logic would suggest.
Had a better story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. He had a better story, and that's what people wanted to hear.
You come from darkness into triumph.
Yeah.
You can achieve.
Like a boy,
no
a homeless
what.
Home. And I mean, I get it.
And
that's
they didn't
awful.
Even put the drug addiction in there. Felipe could have really laid it on a lot
thicker.
Well,
I didn't think they have to. You could have just looked at it and figured it out.
Well,
yeah.
you know how we can tell people are by looking at them. You're darn right. Right?
No, I mean, he looked high. That was his.
Sure.
But you didn't know if that
was
his
delivery
thing
or
yeah.
But I think it was his thing.
Yeah, I mean, his past is, you know, he has. Felipe has overcome a lot, but I, you know, just coming off the stage, just off jokes for joke, I was thinking, all right, well, Tommy Smart, like, and if you watch closely, I don't know if you can find it on YouTube or something, when they go, Roy, you've been eliminated. As I'm walking off the stage, I give Tommy a high five.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, congrats, bro.
Right, right.
I probably jinxed him right then.
So how did, was that the first time you'd auditioned for Last Comic?
Hell no.
I was going to say, yeah.
That was my third and final time through the hopper. The first time I got eliminated.
I can't imagine anybody going again after you've gone one time, but...
It was, there was no other avenues of exposure, man. Mm-hmm. That's just how the way the comedic machine has been created now. But no one credit is going to do it for you. So you have to do multiple shit. So I did it in 03, didn't make it past the open call. And then I did it in 07, and I got to the nighttime showcase set, but I didn't get my golden ticket to Hollywood or whatever.
Right.
And then the third time got all the way, and that's the last comedy competition I'll ever do. Like, I'm not, and I don't know if it's arrogance or just a personal preference of how I present my material now, but there's no fair way to judge any of that shit. So you just go out there and hope that the people who like you find you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason you're out there doing it. But I mean, between that, Showtime at the Apollo, and then I did that Star Search reboot with Arsenio.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like 02, 03, somewhere in there. I was on there for 2 or 3 weeks with Mark Ryan. So I don't want to be judged anymore. I'm done standing in front of someone and going, please like me.
Well, you've got a TV show now, and the second season starts in February?
We go back to work in February. The season should return to air. They're saying May or June they'll put us back up out on the air. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm trying to take that show and just roll that into some other stuff. Mm-hmm. Adult Swim. I need to do some more sketches for the internet. I've been slacking.
Did you and Steve meet? Because it seems to me like all the guys on Sullivan and Son are Steve Burns' friends.
Yeah, you know what? Steve was the only one I knew personally before the show. He was the one who told me about the show, and he's like, yeah, I have the show coming out. I'm going to see you should try and see if you can audition for it. I mean, whatever, dude. You're just another fucking idiot.
How many times do you hear that?
Yeah. It's,
I'm doing a show. I want you to be in it.
And sure enough, I get a call to go audition. I audition and end up getting the role. But I knew Steve from, you know, festivals and stuff like that. And like random Comedy Central, like, taping. Like, you know, you go to a TV taping and there's like 40 comics there and stuff like that. So, yeah.
How many auditions had you done before that?
Just a
handful. I mean, anything.
I thought you were going to say 6,000.
About 10, 10 or 15. I made the mistake when I was in LA of just working too much back east, so I didn't get a lot of TV auditions and movie auditions, but most of them I tanked.
Oh, yeah.
I tanked horribly. What's the Adam Sandler, Kevin Jen? I pronounced you Chuck and Larry, where I auditioned for a role in that. And did not get it. And not only did I not get it, I like to see the film to see who got it.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere close to what the hell they were looking for. What the hell was I thinking? Like, I was just like, oh, damn, they probably think I'm stupid. I think I did a good job on this Wipeout audition. So I go in, and I think I did a pretty good job. The guy was like, hey, yeah, all right, well, we got your stuff, and it was good stuff, very funny. And he had on a Boston Celtics shirt. I figure I'm going to get chummy with him and talk sports. This guy likes sports. I like sports. Get a little extra little brownie point with this guy. And I go, yeah, the Celtics, not sure they can do it this year. And a smile just left his face and he was, where are you from? I go, I'm from Alabama. How's Alabama's in an NBA team doing this year?
Yeah.
I go, we don't have one. Exactly. Thanks, Roy. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for coming in.
I was like, fuck. Okay. And I'm not going to get Wipeout. They'll give that to somebody else. But I've done enough auditions to be comfortable in the room. Enough to know better than to give a fuck after I leave.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you start getting in your head about everything.
And you've done some radio in the past, right?
Yeah, a lot. I started when I left Birmingham, when I left Tallahassee, I graduated in 01 and I moved back home to Birmingham and I started co-hosting on the morning show, on like the main morning show in town there on the hip hop station.
Right out of college.
Yeah, but that was kind of again, I was able to play the fact that I was a comedian with a degree in broadcast.
Mm. Right.
So no matter who you look at, no one's going to be more qualified mm-hmm. from a technical side mm-hmm. than me. And then I had pretty
the
much
personality.
The station was run by my father's friends. Right. So just off the legacy of my dad okay. and what he mm-hmm. did for radio in mm-hmm. Birmingham, right. that was enough to get me in the door. They still didn't pay me anything.
Well,
it was enough
radio.
To get me in the door. Yeah, yeah do right. they ever?
Yeah.
So I did that to like 08 or 09. And then I left for L.A. And then I was just solely doing pranks. I wasn't doing any co-hosting. Mm-hmm. And then after Last Comic Standing, they gave me the show. Mm-hmm. So I was hosting my own morning show from Birmingham. So I ended up going back home. No sooner than I moved back home, I booked the fucking sitcom.
Oh. Right.
So I was doing the show from L.A. on a satellite box.
Right.
Which didn't sit well with management. And right. we were making do, and I felt like, all right, let's slowly phase this out. And they were kind of cool with that.
Yeah.
And then they just decided, they just woke up one morning and just like, nah, let's just keep
I saw the buzz on this on Twitter when this right. when this shit went down, and people were not happy.
They
I mean,
weren't happy
that
you
was
leaving.
That
yeah.
was a huge show. And it was
I don't
bad.
Get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I, you know, I'm not mad. I understand you have to protect your investment as a
right.
corporate head. All right. But if you're going to try and build a show, you're mad because we got, all right, the sitcom got renewed for a second season, which guarantees you another year of the shit that you already didn't like this year.
Mm.
Right.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. But figure out a way to make it work then.
Right.
You don't like, I don't. It just depends on what their goals are for the show. And if the goals are to keep the show local, then having a guy who's doing anything national is a liability. It doesn't help. But if you were trying to build the show nationally, like you
right.
told me you were 2 years ago, then it would seem to me being on my fucking television
that would be
would help assist the goal
would help it
of
your
radio. Building
it across.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe it helps Steve Harvey. Maybe maybe
Steve
being
Harvey,
on in a whole bunch of my fucking city probably helps Steve Harvey do a lot of the shit. I'm pretty sure when Steve Harvey got his own talk show and Family Feud
and
his,
book and
yeah and book and movie, I'm yeah. sure his radio boss didn't go, well, fuck, man, you got to make a choice. We radio. But that's what my boss essentially did. So that shit went south very fast.
Yeah,
that was
that
11
was...
years. And I'm not even mad. It's radio. You stay in it long enough, you're mm-hmm. gonna get some shit on your shirt. So
yeah, I've lost a bunch of shirts now that I think about it. Well, so you want every I mean you're open to everything. TV, movies, radio.
Yeah, well,
Broadway?
You know, no.
No, no more radio?
No theater, no improv.
Okay.
You know, I would never say never to radio again, but it would have to be set up in a way where I know for sure what corporate's vision is mm-hmm. for the show
mm-hmm.
and some degree, a little bit more creative control. That's the one thing that's why I'm not mad at Birmingham, is that for 2 years, we did a show that was not, from a content standpoint, it was not typical urban radio. We were able to do a lot more clever material, and it wasn't just, you know, and it was like, in a way, I was trying to be, I don't want to say a black Bob and Tom, because I can bring in comedians at the volume that they do, but I wanted to make sure that I was doing something that was, all right, black people can get this. Black people get this, but if you're not black, you don't feel left out.
Right, when you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm. And that just comes from creating characters. And it doesn't matter if the character's black or white, it's just scenarios. So the same way Bob and Tom had the Donnie Bakers and the Bill Clintons and all of those characters calling in my head, I was like, all I need is two or three. We play 8 songs an hour, so I don't
right.
have a lot of content to fill anyway.
Yeah, right.
You put in a prank call and celebrity news, who's mm-hmm. fucking who, that leaves you... Mm-hmm. 3 to 4 minutes an hour to cover with original stuff. And they let me do, they did not get in my way at all with those 4 minutes an hour. Do whatever you want. Parody song. You can come up with little neat
features.
I'm
shocked that they even gave you 4 minutes, really.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's, I mean, I know in this building, it's down to the second.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, mm-hmm. for other
So stuff. In this day and age, to have a boss that was willing to do that during that time, it's a push. I can't sit here and go, look, corporations. Because what that did with radio, with all those characters and all the things and all the storylines we built around those characters and segments, I got so much content to put into TV scripts now.
Oh, okay.
So many characters, like just entire worlds
of people that I can put in. And that would I wouldn't have those ideas if I wasn't able to grow them on radio at the time.
Well, maybe we'll get you a C on the tour. I don't know who makes that decision, but...
Yeah, maybe I'll bring Oklahoma City back out again.
Never
see
know.
See if we can get it right this time.
All right. Well, thanks, Roy, for being on our podcast.
You ain't going to try to do no tricky shit to me. Airport. Airport.
Roy Wood Jr. Look for him in a neighborhood near you.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jason.
You bet.